Welcome to Shifting Mindsets for Better Health, a podcast series produced by our partners at Central Michigan University with a grant from the Children's Foundation. COVID-19 has impacted the lives of millions. Sharing information among healthcare professionals is going to be key to saving lives and improving outcomes. This podcast series brings together healthcare professionals across disciplines to share insight into the far-reaching effects this pandemic has on children, caretakers, and medical care providers.
We know that the rates of COVID in children is not as high as we see in adults, for sure.
Similar to adults, children with obesity, diabetes, asthma, and chronic lung disease might be at increased risk for severe disease from COVID-19.
There's so much information to try to consume as a parent, and I certainly say that as a parent myself, that it's really hard to know what's real and what's not real, what's true and what's not true, what do I need to do?
This episode is Physical Health and COVID in Children. We will introduce you to COVID-19 and explain how children respond to an infection, as well as explain a rare condition that can follow a COVID-19 infection, multisystem inflammatory syndrome in children, or MISC. Dr. Joycelyn Ang is a pediatric disease specialist at Children's Hospital of Michigan and a professor of pediatrics at CMU's College of Medicine.
So for COVID-19 illness for children and youth, we know that persons of any age can be infected. And as we learn more about COVID-19 in children and our youth, it is apparent that there is a wide spectrum of diseases in pediatrics. And it can range from asymptomatic to mild to severe and to critically ill. And there can also be clinical manifestations, not only from the acute infection itself, but also due to the significant inflammation associated with this infection, such as acute cytokine release syndrome that you see with acute COVID, or the post-infectious inflammatory syndrome that we will be discussing later, the MISC, or multi-system inflammatory syndrome in children. We know that the acute COVID-19 disease in children is generally less severe. The disease is still new, and we still don't know the long-term effect of this infection, but we know that most patients who are asymptomatic or who have a milder version of the illness recover, and they don't have any symptoms after 2 to 3 weeks. But a smaller percentage of patients with more severe manifestations can take longer, up to 6 to 8 weeks, to fully recover. So I want to give you a bit of the epidemiology of COVID-19 infection in children so you understand the difference between the rates of hospitalization, the number of children infected compared to adults. The American Academy of Pediatrics provides us this information about the number of cases in children in the U.S. The data, they're coming from individual states, and it's in their website. So as of September 17th, which is the latest data that we have, the cumulative number of cases of children with COVID is about 587,000. And this represents about 10% of total cases of COVID in the United States. So children represented 10% of cases. And in terms of hospitalization, we know from our experience that about up to 8% of children with COVID can result in hospitalization. But mortality from COVID-19 in children is still low, and it's estimated to be less than 1%. 42% of the children that were hospitalized in the United States had one or more underlying medical conditions. So it suggests that presence of underlying medical conditions place our children at a higher risk of COVID-associated hospitalization. What's interesting also in this study is that they also found racial disparities in COVID-19 associated hospitalizations. And the hospitalization rates in our children were higher among the Hispanic and Black children, and they're 5 times more likely to be hospitalized, respectively. The reason why they think that there is some disparities among these ethnic and race hospitalization rate is likely related to their higher prevalence of underlying conditions among these populations, specifically obesity, which is very prevalent in this population.
Dr. Scott Grant is a general pediatrician and a pediatric hospitalist at Children's Hospital of Michigan and an associate professor of pediatrics at CMU's College of Medicine. Dr. Grant provides further observations of children and COVID-19.
The children of Michigan, and this has been true in other places as well, weren't coming as ill with COVID-19 as their adult counterparts, in some cases their parents and their grandparents, which is thankful. We're still not totally sure why that has been true of this particular pandemic compared to others, but that has been the case. Most of the time when these kids were coming in ill with COVID-19, there was not an available therapeutic to use. So we were primarily doing symptomatic treatment. So we were helping them if they were having difficulty with their breathing, with oxygen or other types of respiratory support. If they had fevers and other signs of infections like pneumonias, which some of these kids ended up developing, we were certainly treating those in accordance with pneumonia guidelines. But beyond that, it wasn't until several weeks to months later that some of these questions about are there different medications that can be used, different antiviral treatments and other therapeutics that were tried along the way, some of which seem to have made a difference and others of which did not. In our institution, the sicker kids that we've been seeing have been older kids, teenagers, rather than the newborns and the infants, which you might think would be particularly vulnerable to a virus that tends to have some respiratory complications. And so we learned that, although it's hard to say confidently that any of this is 100% true until we really get a chance to look back at the data within our organization and compare that to data from organizations across the country. We certainly still have a lot of work to do related to when a kid comes in with COVID-19 who's having respiratory symptoms or other types of inflammatory symptoms. What are the specific protocols or the specific therapeutics that can be used to try to make them better and decrease their risk of long-term morbidity and mortality? We also have come to know about this complication, which has been called a variety of different things. Some folks call it PIM, so pediatric multisystem inflammatory syndrome. Other people call it MIS-C, which is multisystem inflammatory syndrome in children. And we tend to be seeing that more in kids. I have not seen that described in adult literature that I've been aware of. And it does seem to be some sort of, again, multisystem inflammatory syndrome that develops, we think, about 4 weeks after the initial COVID-19 infection, although that is certainly not an ironed out fact, where kids come in looking very similar to a condition that pediatricians know very well called Kawasaki disease. And they can have fevers and rash, some conjunctivitis, eye inflammation, and a number of other findings. When we check labs in them, they seem to have this, every inflammatory marker in our body is just through the roof, on fire, and those kids can also be quite sick. We've developed a protocol of different types of therapeutics that can be used to sort of turn down that inflammatory response to try to keep these kids from having long-term morbidity, mortality. And so far, we've been reasonably successful with that, treating it similarly to Kawasaki disease, although there's data emerging that the underlying mechanism is different in some key ways. Thankfully, the therapeutics that we had available seem to have worked well for those children.
Dr. Usha Sedaraman is a pediatric emergency physician who works in the emergency department at Children's Hospital of Michigan and is a professor of pediatrics at CMU's College of Medicine. Dr. Sedaraman explains the process of discovering and treating multisystem inflammatory syndrome in children, or MISC.
I want to start from March because that's when the most impact of COVID was felt in our emergency department. About 3 to 4 weeks after the adults came down with COVID and there was increase in mortality in Detroit, approximately 3 weeks after that, we started seeing a trickling in of children who presented with what is now being termed as multisystem inflammatory syndrome, or MISC. At that time, we did not know what it was, but those children were coming in with fevers that were lasting for a few days. They would have vomiting or diarrhea, abdominal pain, and some of them also had a rash. And the concerning thing was that many of these children, actually almost all of them, developed what we call a cardiogenic shock, where their heart is not functioning well. And their heart function actually became severely depressed to the point that almost all of them required intensive care treatment, They required special medications that are immunomodulators, including steroids, and a special medication called intravenous immunoglobulin, which is, again, a very expensive form of immunomodulator. And some of these children, about 6 or 7 of them, required to go on a mechanical ventilator where we take over their breathing for them. And a couple of them actually required something known as ECMO, where they basically, the heart circulation is completely taken over by the treating team. But I'm happy to report that all these children survived. We had no single deaths, and only a couple of them are having persistent effects from this. We finally got an idea. We got a handle of what was going on, and it took us about a few weeks to realize that this is COVID-related. But once we got the hang of it, I think we've perfected our treatment and outcomes have been good. And we are continuing to see these now, perhaps not at the same frequency as we did in April and May, but we are seeing at least a patient or two every month. So it is concerning still. Also, I want to point out that we've also had a couple of kids who presented with strokes. Although there was no increase, when we eventually looked into it, there was no increased numbers of strokes. We did have about 3 or 4 kids who presented with strokes that was directly related to COVID. So that was a concerning thing. The third thing we also saw was we did see a spike in diabetes and children presenting in a diabetic coma who were not previously diabetics, but somehow with a causal relationship. I can't say that the COVID induced the diabetes or the diabetic coma, but there was definitely a kind of a temporal relationship between COVID and the onset of diabetic coma in some children. And also we noticed that MISC is not one disease process. There's actually a spectrum of MISC. There are kids who present just with a little bit of fever, a little bit of vomiting and diarrhea, get admitted, do fine, and they go home, do not require any immunomodulation or treatment. And then there is another set that is moderately sick. So they are sick enough to receive immunomodulation, but they never got intubated, did not require mechanical ventilation, never went to the ICU, got discharged after receiving the immunomodulation. And then you have the critically ill kids who obviously went to the intensive care unit. We're seeing probably around 7% overall, according to CDC statistics. Our initial COVID research included gathering data on this new phenomenon called MISC. So between March and I would say June, we were able to gather data on this 42 kids or 44 or whatever that was, of children who had presented with MIS-C and look at all of their inflammatory markers. And we were actually one of the first ones to come up in Michigan and say, hey, these are all the inflammatory markers that are elevated. And if you used this criteria, then you have a higher chance of picking up children who present with MIS. Because what we have to remember is children with MIS present with common symptoms to the ED. I mean, almost any child can come in with a fever, and we constantly see children who are vomiting, especially during the flu season. So how do we discriminate and differentiate children with MIS from these other common symptoms? We had to come up with a protocol, kind of like an algorithm that is a tiered algorithm. So tier one is you have a child that has fever for X number of days, then go ahead and do these inflammatory marker studies. And then if those are positive, then go on and do the tier two. So our ER was one of the first ones to actually come up with that protocol within Michigan. We were able to distribute it to our other state collaborators.
Dr. Ang explains the 3 tiers of MISC diagnosis and treatment in more depth.
So this is a post-inflammatory process, and there is a definition. One should be young in the pediatric age group, should be less than 21 years of age, because most of the time these diseases present within the pediatric population. And they should be presenting with fever of 38 degrees Celsius for at least 24 hours, and with also laboratory evidence of inflammation, and also have evidence of significant illness that is requiring hospitalization. In addition, the patient should have evidence of 2 or more organ system involvement of inflammation. It could be inflammation related to the heart, to the kidneys, to the lung, to the brain. Some skin manifestations such as rash can be present as well. And for this case definition to be fulfilled, one should not have any other alternative diagnosis to explain what's going on. And the third important case definition is that we have to link this clinical manifestation to an exposure to COVID-19. So the evidence of exposure would be testing positive for the SARS-CoV-2 infection by the nose sampling, which is detecting the actual presence of the virus by PCR, or evidence of antibody production, in other words, a recent infection, or exposure to the virus within 4 weeks before the onset of symptoms. Most people think that the disease in children is pretty much self-limited and they recover and they're less likely to be hospitalized. And that's true for the acute COVID part. But as we mentioned, our children can still present with severe presentations. In particular, after an infection, 4 to 6 weeks after an infection, which is known as the multisystem inflammatory syndrome. And they can, in a matter of hours, for those patients with acute inflammation of the heart, you know, present very ill, drop their blood pressure. And some of our patients have to be supported with the ECMO. It's like a machine that bypasses the heart to let the heart rest as we continue to control the inflammation. So it can be severe in our children, although majority do very well. And as sick as they are, the MISC patients, the mortality is still low. We've not had any death associated with COVID-19 in our institution. They do respond very well to our immunomodulatory treatment, like the IVIG and the steroids. And the process seemed to be reversible very quickly. And most of our children have good outcome, even if they came in very sick with the MISC presentation.
Dr. Sethuraman explains the possible long-term effects of MISC.
But it is interesting that even though the numbers of MISC are less, if you think about it, this is our future. Kids are our future. And if many of these kids start developing MISC, then some of them may have long-term outcomes that we have not explored yet. So that is a wait and watch game. It is still too early to say that all of these children with MISC are recovering, because the data was based on initial couple of weeks follow-up of these children. The long-term impacts of having a decreased myocardial infarction is quite profound. If you think about it, are these children going to require long-term medications? Having a lowered cardiac function or dysfunction over a long term also might make them more susceptible. They get a small cold. Is it going to worsen their cardiac function even more? They may require recurrent admissions for heart failure in the future. Participation in sports, the quality of day-to-day life can be impacted. And finally, not the most important thing, but a fact of the matter is, what is the financial consequences to our community as a whole with this long-term follow-up?
According to the CDC, roughly 10% of COVID patients with symptoms are children under 18 years old. 8% of children exposed to COVID-19 will experience some degree of MISC, with less than 10% requiring ICU care. At the end of 2020, less than 25 children in the United States have died from MISC. But time will tell if there is a lasting impact on children's physical health from COVID-19. Thank you to doctors Joycelyn Ang, Scott Grant, and Usha Sethuraman for providing their expertise in physical health and COVID in children. To find out about our other podcasts, go to med.cmich.edu/shiftingmindsets. The Shifting Mindsets for Better Health podcast series is a production of the College of the Arts and Media, the College of Medicine, and the Interdisciplinary Center for Community Health and Wellness at Central Michigan University. Executive producer and host is Dr. Heather Polinsky. Interview recording and editing by Mr. Michael Potter. Produced by Drs. Judy Blabia, Allison Arnold, and John Lowry. Funded by a grant from the Children's Foundation.